Hey, everyone. I'm Mallory Rubin, and I am thrilled to tell you that House of R has a new podcast feed. Joanna Robinson and I will now be with you twice a week with more of the deep dives you've come to know and love on the Ringerverse. In addition to exploring all of your favorite nerd culture new releases, we'll have nostalgic revisitations, hype meters, Hall of Fame inductions, tropes courses, drafts, and more. All bad babies are welcome as we dive into Star Wars, Marvel, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, and beyond. Follow the new House of R feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
What's going on, jabronis? It's pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man
the
Show.
Masked the Masked Man,
Masked Man Show.
Show.
Masked Man Show.
WWE World, what's good?
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I know, I hope some of y'all at least sound a little bit like me. My voice a little shot.
It was a long night.
Long night.
Cheering for Roman Reigns too loud over here.
Hey, yes, 100%. Acknowledge your tribal chief. Acknowledging him is a full-time job.
I love that. I love that.
You know how it is. Did y'all enjoy WrestleMania Saturday last night?
Yeah.
Did y'all enjoy Stand and Deliver last night?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got two more nights to go, really.
Yeah, yeah.
WrestleMania Sunday kicking off today. Glad you guys could be here to kick it with us. Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. I'm Kaz. Co-host David Shoemaker. One and only Cal.
How you doing?
Ringer Wrestling Show. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check it out. It's my guy, George Carroll of NXT. What's up, George? It's my guy. I'm so glad George is here, too, because we have a special guest joining us on stage right now. And Dave, we talk about this guy on the show a lot.
And he's like the current official wrestler of the Masked Man Show.
Every couple of years, I say, this guy, I'm going to support him with everything I can. Because in like record time, he became my favorite wrestler. And I think in record time, he became a massive success.
Hell yeah.
And I think the sky is truly the limit for him. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for your NXT North American Champion, Obafemi.
Oba. Amazing.
Thank you, bro.
It's for you.
Sir. Check out the hardware.
You already know?
Yeah.
Woo. Brought the gold to Philly. First off, can I get a roll tide before we get going? A roll tide?
Roll tide.
There you go. Wait, let's start off with that a little bit. You were an NIL acquisition by WWE. You were a track and field, a shot putter, right?
That's correct.
At Alabama. How does that process take place? Do they come after you? Do you go apply to them? Like, how did you find your way from Alabama to the Performance Center?
Okay, so they reached out to me because the process of
applying to become a WWE superstar is a long shot. So they came to me and I did the tryout. I made the tryout. And I still had 1 year of college to finish. I told them that. And then that's when they were like, okay, we have this NIL program. It's going to allow us the platform to keep in touch with you and help you through your last year of college. And when you graduate, you filter right into our system. So that's how I ended up here.
Talk about that transition, though. I mean, you know, Roll Tide and everything, but, you know, go into the Performance Center. Did it help that you had all of that training for the shot put and track and field in the past? How different was it when you got to WWE and NXT and the Performance Center and working on, you know, your craft now? What's it, talk about that.
I mean, definitely being an athlete is a plus 100%. Like it helps in whatever other athletic background you're going to be diving into. But as we all know, wrestling is way more than just athleticism and, you know, moves and who can jump and who can write. Because everybody can jump and everybody can run. But there's a certain mindset and there's a way you look at the business of wrestling, the psychology of it, and the mentality is a different beast in and of itself.
Obafemi says how difficult it is to transition, but in his what, second or third match becomes NXT North American champion, first NIL athlete to capture NXT gold. I mean, yes, it is a difficult transition, but you made it look so easy so far, man. What's been the secret to that?
I mean, people forget about the 1 year I spent strictly in developmental before I actually like bust on the scene to have that, you know, one match, second match, third match, and then become champion. People forget about the 1 year and a half I spent, you know, brewing. So let's always keep that in mind. It's always like, oh, he's in five matches, he became North American champion. No, he also trained for a year and a half. So yeah.
But what about, I mean, because you talk about that, build on that, you're in developmental. I want to know two things. One, once I started seeing you on NXT television, talk about breakout star, that crowd was immediately, they had your back. They was, oh, sorry, like whatever's going on, they're chanting everything. And two, what was it like at Wells Fargo last night? Talk about that growth from developmental to being in front of that crowd. That's thousands, tens of thousands of people out there.
Okay, so as far as the crowd having my back as soon as I walked out, that's because I'd had level up matches. I'd done a couple coconut matches, live events during the weekends. So, like, they were familiar with who I was as a character. And as far as last night, wow. When you wrestle in front of 600 to 700 people, you know, at live events or 300 people, it feels like they are there and you are aware of everyone sitting there. But last night when we had 16,000 plus, it's no longer just people. It's now like a force of energy that just like all the way from the top, the energy just like slides down, makes its way down to the ring based on every single action and every move you make. It's amazing.
I love that.
Niger boy, correct?
I'm on Niger.
You come on now. Yo, listen, the moment I seen this dude come on TV and the promo you cut, and obviously, West Africans, Nigerians, when they get on TV, when they get on WWE, there's usually either that's the gimmick or probably got to change the voice a little bit. But you came on 100% Nigerian. I'm like, this is my guy forever and ever and ever. But, you know, Nigerians have been capturing attention in all cross combat sports. Yep. UFC, NBA, obviously, now dominating in WWE. Vastly, but as a person with Nigerian parents, I know that conversation is usually very interesting. So talk to me about how you, mom and pops talked about transitioning from WWE to from shot put to WWE. And knowing that you still had a year to finish school, that was the most telling sign that you had very Nigerian parents.
Oh, yeah. You know, Nigerians are very big on education.
They don't play.
As I told them, oh, yeah, I made it. I did well in the tryouts. They were like, but you still have school, though. You have to finish school, though. Isaac, we've been through so much to put you...
Go to get your degree,
oh. I was like, I know. I'll finish. And I promised them I'll finish. And I wanted to finish as well. Because, I mean, imagine going to school for 20-plus years and not getting a college degree. Like, that's ridiculous. As far as the Nigerians killing it all over the place, the Kamarus and the Israel Adesanyas and, you know, the Divine Odudurus, the reason why we're authentically Nigerian is because we are Nigerian. You know, there are some people try to play Nigerian and, you know, put on the voice, like, and the crowd can tell when it's BS.
Not authentic.
When it's not authentic. They, yeah. Like, you can just tell. But when you spent, like, I spent 19 years, my first 19 years alive in another continent, in the continent of Africa, in Nigeria, in the heart of Lagos, Keto Alakbere, and you can't teach or fake that experience. So that's why it's so authentic.
So it's Stand and Deliver. Congratulations, by the way. You defended your North American title against two men, two very large men. It was not a... You were probably the biggest guy in there, but not by a lot, right? You also picked them both up at one point during the match. How does that... Is that something you knew you could do before you started thinking about the match? I mean, do you practice lifting such heavy things that you're like, that's two wrestlers worth?
It's just one of those things that in the moment you see it and you just have to go for it. You can't question, oh, can I do it or can I not do it? And thanks to my athletic, this is actually one of the moments where, like, my athletic background has 100% to do with the success and the execution of that move.
Yeah.
because if I didn't spend all those years putting 700 pounds on my back and 800 pounds on my back and squatting it as fast as I can, I don't think I would have been able to move those guys yesterday.
Yeah.
So thank you, track and field.
Anybody who's listened to the Masked Man show with Kaz, I've been calling you Fufu Powered Gunther for a long time. You know, there's a lot of similarities, right? Like, very much, you know, representing for your culture, you know what I mean? And just in the way that you guys approach your skill, right? Like, very deliberate, very dominant, and the size factor. How do you take those comparisons to the greats that have, you know, come before you already in such a short amount of time? And especially a guy like Gunther, who, you know, very similar to you, came to NXT, immediately dominated, and just continues to dominate. I see a lot of him in you when you've already made waves in NXT. So how do you feel when you hear those type of comparisons?
So I do acknowledge those comparisons, but I don't like to dwell on them, because wrestling fans love doing this one thing. They'll see a new superstar and they'll immediately make a connection to an old superstar who has some, like, one thing in common with them.
That's,
like,
human nature. I think everybody...
Oh my God, he's the next Randy Orton. He's the next... And I'm like... And I'm like, no. Like, they love to say, oh, he's the next Mark Henry. Like, I saw someone's comment on Twitter, like, oh, he's the next Mark Henry, or he's strong like John Cena. It's like, no. Like, you are witnessing something very, very different. This is
exactly.
This is Obafemi, and there's nothing like Obafemi. You can say, oh, his chops are as loud as Gunther's and da-da-da-da-da, but no, this is Oba, and this is just Oba. This is the first Oba, and this is important.
Facts. When those chops are different, too. You know, he's chopping people. He's standing there chopping. People are flying at you, and you're chopping them out the sky. Does that hurt you?
Oh, yeah. I just want to high five most times. But,
Oh, that's great. I like the voice you just did was fantastic. Was there ever a part when you were coming up in the PC where they're like, hey, you went to school in Alabama, but maybe we'll make you an Alabama guy? Like, what is that?
Me Southern?
Yeah.
No. I don't think they wanted. I don't think anyone is going to look at me and assume, oh, he's a Southern. Southern man. Like, no, like, you have to sometimes you have to play to what you have to play to your stereotype sometimes.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those times.
Yeah.
You know, Oba, there's an incredible black lineage with that title, right? Like, I feel like some of the great upcoming black stars have all held that title at one time or another. And at one point I thought it was coincidence. Second time I'm like, okay, that's peculiar. Third time I'm like, oh, this feels very deliberate. Like, you know, it feels like this is the title that the young black stars that they give to kind of, you know, let them know they're on their way. I mean, and me personally, I love it, right? Like, it feels like sort of like a rite of passage now that you're holding it. You know, talk to me about just the importance of that championship, especially in this new era of NXT that saw its largest crowd of all time last night in the Wells Fargo Center.
So I know this title has that history of having black holders, and but shout out to Cameron Grimes.
Shout out Cameron Grimes.
He's the one vanilla guy,
I mean,
you know.
I mean, he was at Wale Media, like he's kind of one of us, you know. Your Baltimore dude. I like Grimes. He's good people.
He's in there. So whether we like it, I mean, whether we like it or not, like he's part of the lineage of this championship.
Our great black champions like Cameron Grimes.
Rest, all the respect to Cameron, but for me, this is very important. I would say with the other holders before this lineage, it was a very different, it was a different aura surrounding this championship. I feel like with me, things are different now in the sense that before people would come out and do open challenges, and this was like the Walker title. This is not just a title for Walkers. Like you actually have to deserve this to earn your stripes. You know, if you want this, have a number one contenders match, and you get an opportunity to face me for this title. And this is my legacy now. No more open championship. That's gone with the old guard. This is the new guard now.
I want to follow up just on your development in NXT, right? Like it's really like a Willy Wonka's chocolate factory for like creator wrestlers, right? Like you're learning from Shawn Michaels, you go into promo class, you got a state-of-the-art facility. But aside from the incredible physical attributes that you have, I think you really have a draw with the way you cut promos, right? Like you don't mince words, you're a man of very few of them, but every one of them are extremely impactful. When you're going through promo class at NXT, you're learning from people like Shawn Michaels. What was the conversation like when you're talking about your character and they were just like, okay, this man doesn't need to say much. And it already sort of hits. Like, when did it sort of click for you as far as cutting promos and talking and expressing the character that you are on television?
So during promo class, they have all these cues they give you, like, say less and it means more, or like hold your eyes to the camera to express, to establish your dominance in the position you are. And people and the athletes tend to take all that and they merge all those cues together. And eventually they're doing everything right, but they're not themselves anymore. I think when it clicked for me was when they told me, it's still you, but just turned up a notch. You're like, it's still you. Like, you can still be yourself. You can take, and not every cue is for you. You know, like, not everybody is the big lumbering man with very few words. Like, some people have a lot more to say, and in their character, that's what they should do. So I feel like it clicked for me when they told me that it's still me, but just pick and choose what cues to use.
We gotta let you get out of here. We gotta keep this thing moving, but I want to ask you last question. It's still you, but what feels more natural, when the crowd is cheering for you or when the crowd is booing you?
Ooh, good question.
I've never been married to face or heel. I'm just going to be me. I'll just let you react. Do whatever you want. Feel however you want.
Ooh,
this is me.
Ooh.
Obafemi, thank you so much for doing this.
Make some noise for the NXT North American champion.
Congratulations.
Obafemi.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations on Stand and Deliver. It's going to be great seeing you grow, man. Thank you, bro.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
What's poppin', people? Welcome back to WrestleMania Sunday here at WWE World.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome to the Ring of Wrestling Show, the Masked Man Podcast with Kaz once again. I'm Kaz, David Shoemaker, Cal Davenport.
What's poppin'?
And I told you guys we got a great guest coming up here, and I don't ever tell a lie. Guys, this man, after nearly 20 years in WWE, had his first WrestleMania victory last night, where he captured the Raw Tag Team Championships as part of Awesome Truth last night. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the national treasure and one half of the new Raw Tag Team Champions, R-Truth.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
There it is.
Truth, I just want to start this very simply. You deserve it.
Yes.
You deserve it, dog.
Appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that.
Man, I feel like there really isn't anything this man could do. And I think especially in the past several months, you've shown the entire world that not only can you entertain, not only can you make people laugh, not only can you make people serious, not only can you make great music, but man, you can make WrestleMania moments also. And you definitely made one last night. So I just want to say congratulations, man. It was well-deserved. It was amazing.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you all, too.
Now, one more thing I'll give it to you, Dave. But, you know, you had a podcast with our good friend Peter Rosenberg a while ago, and you spoke about everything you went through just to get back here, right? And it was incredible. Right. So for folks who may not have been, you know, privy to the injury and everything you had to fight back towards just to make it back to the stage, put everybody on, man. Like, let them know, like, just how crazy it was.
Wow. Yeah, see.
Before you returned.
A lot of people knew that I tore my quad tendon, and but they didn't know the extent of it. Okay, if you don't know, you have two tendons. One's on top, one's on bottom. I tore the one that's on the bottom, which the doctor said if you're going to tear one to get back to doing what I do, that's the one you want to tear. So I tore that one, went into surgery. It was November 1st that I tore it, and surgery was like, they got me in real quick, maybe like the 8th. And so had the surgery. Within the next day, I was back. I was doing PT. I wasn't bending it because it was still stitches there, you know what I'm saying? But I was doing massage stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was doing that right there.
Okay.
I was doing, you know what I'm saying, all the stuff I'm supposed to do, right?
You still got
it. So I'm doing all this. And surgery's on Tuesday, Wednesday PT, Thursday PT. And there was a spot that never quite stopped leaking, right? So flew back home. Me and my wife flew back home. Continued PT the following week. And my physical therapist was like, wow, that looks kind of... He said, it's still leaking. It should be done dried up by now. So he said, I think you almost at the two-week mark. You should set an appointment to get the stitches out. So if you have a surgery, you want to get the stitches out within 2 weeks. If not, the stitches will start growing into your body, right? And then they're trying to take them out. They're going to be pulling meat with you. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay, yeah, I'll go get these out. So I went and got the stitches out, right? Now, upon him taking them out, he looked and he noticed that it was still leaking, right? Remember that, still leaking. So he's looking at it. And before he even took the stitches out, he said, I need to clean it up. So he sprayed the solution on it. And when he cleaned it up, there was an actual hole in my knee. I have it on my phone and I will show y'all when I'm done with this. There was an actual hole in my knee. And I'm sitting there, no pain, no nothing. And he's a doctor, you know what I'm saying? He's like,
that don't look right.
His actual words was, that doesn't look normal to me. Does it look normal to you?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a scholar, but I don't think so. You know what I'm saying?
That's not something you want to hear, no.
Right. So he went and got two more doctors. As a matter of fact, the doc, one of the doctors he got did both of my shoulder surgery. So all three doctors are looking at it, and they're talking to each other. Like, so what are you doing this afternoon? I said, you know, going to pick the kids up. Grab some sushi or something, you know what I'm saying? Chill out, watch a movie at home, probably Barbie movie, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, can somebody else go get him? We need to take you to surgery now. I said, right now? He said, yeah. I was in surgery within 2 hours. He said, your knee's infected, and it's infected from the inside, right? Not from the out. And that's why I wasn't bleeding. So they was hoping that it didn't get to my bone. And it takes a process from them getting sutures and sending it to the lab to find out what it was. I had 5 different bacteria and diseases in my leg, in my knee. 5. I'm talking about MRSA, staph, they cousins, and kin folks too. And I ain't even met them, right? So immediately they put me on antibiotics, you know what I'm saying? I was in the hospital for like maybe a week just from going to get the stitches out. It's like going to the mechanic and you go for an oil change and you find out you need an engine overhaul. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yes. So that's when I first heard of a womb vac. Have y'all ever heard of that? Well, it's like a suction thing that they put on your knee and it's sucking up the old blood cells, the bad one, they're replacing the new ones, and it's running 24 hours and it's supposed to help me heal quicker. And this is all in the month of November now. You know what I'm saying? So I got the womb vac. How many heard of a PICC line?
I've heard of that.
You ever heard of that? Okay. A PICC line, they put a tube from here and they had to go all the way to here over top of my heart to disperse antibiotics, right? So they're like, you can stay in the hospital and do it, or we can hook you up to where you can go home and do it. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather do it at home. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So I was administering it to myself. They gave me an extension, and I would administer 5 different medicines. And it was, I had to do it 3 times a day. This was for 8 weeks. I had to have that wound vac on, and 8 weeks I had to have that PICC line. 8 more weeks, I couldn't bend my leg at all. Yeah. So I went from November all the way to January. I'm like this right here, everywhere that I go to. Everywhere. I'm talking about the bathroom. I'm like this right here. Everywhere, right? So did that. Oh, by the way, I was on the heavy stuff they told me of antibiotics.
Okay.
$4,900 a week. A week to like, you know what I'm saying? And the thing that got serious to me was once the first set of the wound vac came off, they still wanted to leave the PICC line in just to like guarantee the guarantee, you know what I'm saying? And once he took the wound vac off, you know, I'm looking, the doctor's looking, and he's like, okay, it's looking better. I'm like, all right, cool, dog. Like,
no.
That's how the doctor did me. The doctor did that to me. And that hurt my feelings, right? And I'm like, oh, he okey-doked me, right? You know what I'm saying? Like in front of everybody. And he said, you're not out of the woods yet. I said, oh, dog, my bad. He's like, yeah, this is serious. Like, He said, we need to get this to stop. He said, it's not slowing down at all. So I'm like, okay, cool. So he said, I want you to wear the antibiotic to keep the PICC line in for another 6 more weeks. And we don't want you to bend your leg, no PT or nothing. So I had to go from November all the way to February. They took the PICC line out. Everything was looking good. He said, okay, now we're going to take these stitches out. Then went to go take them out, and it was still leaking. And not only that, my daughter was like, you know, I lay in the bed with my 9-year-old. She's, you know, rubbing on, checking out my knee. And she's like, wow, you got gray hairs in your knee. I said, you know, daddy's older, but I don't have gray hairs sticking out of my knee.
Right, right.
The stitches that was inside of my quad, the bottom quad, they were dispersing out through my body. My body was rejecting the stitches.
Wow.
So he said, what are you doing this afternoon? I said, I'm going to pick the kids up, grabbing some sushi. He said, no, can somebody else get them? I said, for real? He said, yeah, I hate to do this, but we got to go back in. So I had to go in for a third surgery. I had to have 3 surgeries. So when I came back out, I didn't have to do the wound vac, but I had to get another PICC line on this arm. So that tube went from there all the way to my heart. And instead of 5 different medications I was on 3. And it was 2 times a day. So that was, to me, that was a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So now y'all got to think, through this time, after the 3rd surgery, when the doctor put the PICC line in, he said, well, let's get serious. He said, you know why I wouldn't high-five you? I was like, no. He said, if we can't get this under control, he said, I think our next step, we need to start thinking of a different solution. I said, what you mean? He said, well, we don't want that to spread, you know, throughout your body and get, so we may have to amputate. And I'm like, oh, like my whole world stopped, y'all. Like it was, I wasn't thinking about, like, I was just thinking about not being here for my family, for like y'all, for like, for me. I'm like, I'm gonna be here, but I wouldn't be here and here because I'm like, I never been. So it was just a whole perspective that I had to sit down for a minute. Like they say, stop, smell the roses. And I had to sit down and get in the saddle and really think about, okay, what am I going to do afterwards? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I had to come to terms with accepting that, but okay, what are you going to do afterwards? You got to keep moving. Life don't stop. You can't stop. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep going. So adapting, evolving, mentally, I never stopped working out. I got a gym in my house. So even though I'm like this right here, I was upstairs like doing this right here. I was working out every day. Once the doctor told me I had the PICC line, they didn't want me to lift up over 300 pounds. I'm not trying to lift over 300 pounds, right? So working out and just meditating and I guess going through that, it gave me more of a, I've always been humble, you know what I'm saying? But it gave me more of a grounding of being humble, appreciating just the simplest little things in life that each and one of us take for granted every single day. Bending my knee, being able to walk up, go play with my kids, go run, to sit down, to get up, to walk, to move, to like, there's so many things and it's levels to it that I was experiencing going through. So now we're from November, December, January, February, March, April, May. I got the stitches out and the doctor gave me a high five.
There we go.
So the high five was like, I said, oh, am I there now? He said, yeah. He said, we can high five. So I high five him. I high five that doctor, The custodian was out there. I went and gave him a high five. And so, the thing was, he said, you can start back now. You can go ahead and sit up with your physical therapist. You can get back at it. Everything is good. If you have any problems, reach out to us. And ever since then, my mind was just on like getting back better than who I was when I left. Because I feel like every setback is a setup for you in life. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to know how to feel or react, or you're not going to know how to treat yourself when you're treated good by life if you haven't been through life. Life be life, and y'all.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times the math ain't gonna be math and stuff don't add up, but you can't stop. Like my childhood hero John Cena say, you can't give up. Yeah. And a lot of times it was my discipline that kept me in the game. Because I mean, it's great, and we all, it's great. I believe in my music. It's ambitious, motivation, and all that. But sometimes life can knock the motivation out of you from different circumstances, right? So discipline kept me working out. Discipline kept me in the game. I still had to help my wife out with the kids. I still had to do certain things. Discipline kept my routine of being in the game going, you know what I'm saying? And when I came back, the welcoming I got from each and all of y'all was like, ah.
Like, can I ask you about that?
Yes.
So, I mean, you've had a lot of different phases of your career.
Right.
But when you came back this time, the time that you were gone, WWE had kind of been going up and up and up. What was, you talk about motivation. What was your motivation when you came back? What was your mindset? Like, how do you fit in to this place? It seems like everything's popping on a different level than the last time you were there. How are you going to make your place?
I didn't force it. We have to believe in the process. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, life put us through these processes. And I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just happy and overjoyed to get back to doing what I know how to do. And that's entertain, that's professional wrestling, that's like being in front of all of y'all. And that's what I was just happy to get back. And everything else fell in place. And apparently they missed me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Facts.
It's truth. Truth. I think everything in life is symbolic, right?
Yeah.
A couple months ago, a doctor tells you they might have to cut off your leg.
Yeah.
A little less than 24 hours ago, you're literally climbing a ladder to your biggest moment in WWE history.
What's up?
As you're climbing that ladder, what is going through your mind knowing everything you had been through to get to this moment at WrestleMania?
Don't fall. No, it was
good thing to think of.
Yeah. It was surreal, y'all. It was there's no words that I can even find. I don't even think they have made a word for the way I felt in that moment, and I'm hearing everything. I'm hearing this energetic, this electrified crowd that invested in me. In me, I'm hearing that. I'm feeling that. I can't even, you know, say there's no words to express how grateful I was for that.
I want to know too, because I watched a video that was on WWE YouTube not too long ago about you and great moments in your career, and you had a lot of dope stuff to say about The Miz, your fellow tag team champion. So I wanted to know, talk about having that moment and having that with someone like The Miz, who you hold in such high regard because of how you've been riding for so long.
Yes. Hey, I will say this. The Miz is like, he's underrated big time. The Miz is...
First ballot.
Bro,
Miz, first ballot.
So underestimated. When we talk about being a ring general, Miz is a ring general. Almost like Miz made me go back to my being in school days. You know, yeah, I was that guy that I would cheat off your paper if I knew your answer was better, you were smart. Miz is that guy I would cheat off his paper. You know what I'm saying? He's that guy you can go to for stuff, man. The smarts he got about a match, telling a story, ring awareness, when proper things should be done, how you're going to feel, how he is as a husband, a father, a friend. And he's always, always had my back and supported me.
That's a fact. Give it up for The Miz, y'all. Fellow Raw Tag Team Champion. Now, truth, I don't know how many folks was in the house Thursday night at Wally Mania. Franklin Music. Okay, we had some folks in there. But you tore that place down, man.
Like, my dog, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
It's been something crazy. You are the prototypical 5-tool player in an era of WWE where it's not just about what you can do in the ring. Can you entertain? Can you get serious? Can you crack jokes? Do you got that extra little thing that other people don't got? To me, I think it's your music. I think it's the entrance. I think anytime you say what's up and they say what's up back to you, that's not something everybody got. So in the era where WWE is as big as ever and you have found ways to still connect with people after so long, after seeing so many versions of you, how do you stay fresh? How do you stay keeping people on their toes and having the ability to say, man, that's just truth being truth. When he does something silly, he does something funny, even in the ring last night, you get the hot tag in the ladder match, and nobody blinks an eye. Everybody's with you on the hot tag.
They believed with me, right?
They believed
with you. Yes.
Even when I raised my arm, everybody said, yay, he won, y'all. I love it, man. I don't know where that has come to. I don't know where that came from. I think it's the investment that everybody have invested in me over the years of my career, you know what I'm saying? And it works. And it's that part of wrestling that gives you that feel-good moment. It makes you, you know what I'm saying? It makes you smile. It makes you laugh. It makes you mad when Judgment Day take advantage of me. And I had their T-shirts being sold, and I got them a new TV with a good deal that still played VHS tapes. You see what I'm saying?
That was good tax-free money, too, man.
Bro, I did the tax stuff for DP. You know what I'm saying? They did me dirty. And Dirty Dom, you see how he did his dad. I should have known better, right?
Should have known. You should have known.
Yeah, man, bro. It feels good to have that type of crowd participation. And I'm loving it, man. I'm sitting in the saddle, and I'm going to ride until the wheels fall off.
Well,
love that.
This is... You told a sad story. I haven't even sadder one. We got to wrap this thing up.
But well, sad.
What?
I sad stuff?
Happy by the end, but everything you went through.
Okay.
You've been through a lot.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a quick question. You can answer it as quickly as you want. You look like you're about 25. I mean, I don't know. You've been at this for a while.
Like,
don't
crack, Dave.
No.
That happens, man.
For real.
This is another level, though. This I don't know.
There's another level of black don't crack here, bro.
If you could go back in time and give one piece of advice to Kay Quick, to the very earliest of, you know, time in WWE, what would you tell him?
I would tell him, don't rush the process. Enjoy, live, and learn from the moment.
Love it. Ladies and gentlemen, your new Raw Tag Team Champion, the one and only, R-Truth. Make some noise, y'all.